Lord. I'm going to begin a message series today, and I'll continue on with it. As you know, Teen Challenge, Eastern Appalachian Teen Challenge will be with us next Sunday morning. So 2 weeks from today, I'll just go right back into it. I actually have two message series that I'm coming up together that they're going to tie in with each other. And the first one is seven indicators of Christ's return. And then the second one will be about rapture. So I want you to turn with me to Acts 1 and 11. That is going to be my theme verse for this morning. Some of these seven indicators, we will do two or three in a Sunday morning setting. Some of them we will only do one because of the nature, the scope of the stuff that they contain and carry. And when you're there at Acts 1:11, can you say amen? Actually wrote down these seven thoughts back in the early part of the summer and forgot about writing them down. I was in time of prayer one day, and then the Lord reminded me I wrote them down. He said, go back to them, now's the time. This is what it says in Acts 1:11. This is angel speaking, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in the manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So he's saying, as you see the Lord leave, you'll see him return. I'm going to give you what all seven of them are, but we're only going to deal with one of them this morning. The first one is Israel regathering and being established in Palestine, what the scripture says about that. The second one is what many people term a great falling away, what that actually is. Okay, I've heard it preached every which way, but I want to show you what scripture is. The Spirit's outpouring in the last days. Okay. The rise of false doctrine. What I call the Noah Lot syndrome. Iniquity that abounds. And last, lovers of pleasure. Probably 6 and 7 we will combine together, or maybe 5, 6, and 7 we'll combine together. I'm not sure on that yet. But today we're going to look at Israel being regathered and established in Palestine. And I'm going to go camp out in the book of Ezekiel for a while. And if you want to go there with me, that's great. I want to go to chapter 20. I want to make some statements right here, and by the time we're done with Scripture this morning, I'm hoping you will understand and see. It does not matter what Hamas, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, who does what. Israel is there to stay. And there is no moving them. God will defend them. Some of you that have Facebook, you've seen the same pictures. It appeared on some of my friends' timelines, two or three different times, about where the people from Gaza were talking about from Hamas that the God of the Jews is stopping our missiles in midair. And that was a huge headline. There are stories from the 1967 war, Six-Day War, that the Egyptians fled off the Sinai Peninsula because they seen angelic beings riding in front of the Israeli army. And this was documented. I want you to understand, praise the Lord, We're living very close to the time of the church being raptured out and the second coming of Christ, which will be at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. You're going to hear all kind of stuff, but you need to know what the Word says. You know what the Word says, then you can throw out the stuff by well-intentioned people and even preachers, praise the Lord, and just abide with the Word, because the Word of God will stand when everything else has fallen. Amen? All right. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 through 38. It says this, and I'm going to hit the highlights of it. You can read it in your personal time. But in verse 33, he says, he will cause the Jews to return to their land by a mighty hand. He said, by a mighty hand, out of the places where you were scattered, I will bring you back. How many of you at least know the history that this has been happening since 1948? It is still happening that Jewish people are leaving different places on the globe and going back and settling in Israel. Some of them have never been there. Hallelujah. He gathers them from everywhere that they have been scattered, all the way across this globe. Please understand this. The largest Jewish population in the world outside of Israel is in New York City. Praise the Lord. So he's gathering them for everywhere. Then he says in verse 37 there, I will cause you to pass under the rod. That's a metaphor that a shepherd uses for counting sheep. He will hold a club up, and as the sheep come into the sheepfold, he counts them. And if any goats try to come in, he takes the club and runs them away. So he's saying to them, I will hold up the rod, I will hold up my club, I will count you as my sheep, I will be your shepherd. That's what he's saying with that metaphor right there. Wow. So he's saying he will gather them. He's saying that he will be their shepherd. In verse 40, he says, in the holy mountain, which is in Jerusalem, he said, there shall be a house of Israel that they shall serve me. I will accept them. I will require offerings and first fruits of your oblations with all holy things. He's saying, they'll offer sacrifices again. Now, this will be during the millennial that they will offer those sacrifices. Those sacrifices is not to cover their sins, because all of the Old Testament rituals are symbolisms of what Jesus would do on the cross, what he would do. It is to teach them what Jesus did on the cross. And praise the Lord, in Zechariah 14:16, it very specifically says that the nations will come yearly to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in October, to worship the Lord with their gifts. Didn't say just Israel, said nations. Those things will come. Israel is being reestablished. God is gathering them right now, still in the process. It's still happening. He's saying, I will be their shepherd. He's saying in the time to come, in the millennial, that I will cause them to bring sacrifices. Now turn to Ezekiel 34, verse 11. I want you to know Jesus is getting ready to come. Verse 11, he says, I will search my sheep and seek them out. He will seek out Israel and deliver them from where they've been scattered. He said, in verse 12, he says there, I will deliver them out of the places that they've been scattered. For years, the Jewish people were locked inside of Soviet Russia. And during the Soviet Union, they weren't allowed to leave. And behind the communist Iron Curtain, when that was around, they weren't allowed to leave. But 25 years ago, that fell. And the floodgate began to open. And the Jews began to come out of Russia, out of Eastern Europe. They were allowed to come out of Ethiopia. They were allowed to come from different places. And they're going back to the homeland. Praise the Lord. God will fulfill His word. He will regather Israel to the homeland, as He puts it in Ezekiel several places, their own land. The Arabic people say that it's their land, but God says it belongs to the Jewish people. So I'll take God's word for it. He's the owner of all things. Amen? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills that the cattle graze on. So it's His to do what He wants with. Praise the Lord. It says that they will be brought into their own land in verse 13. And then it says an interesting thing in verses 23 and 24. I will set one shepherd over them. He shall feed them. Even My servant David, He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, their God, and My servant David is a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. He's saying that David will be the future prince and king. Prince in the kingdom of God, but king over Israel. I want to take a side trip right here for just a minute. Many people beat themselves up emotionally and spiritually after they've had a failure in their walk with God, a major failure. And you don't feel like God can use you for anything again. I want to tell you, there was no two greater sins that could be committed than what David committed. He had a man murdered, and he committed adultery with that man's wife. David repented of that, got it taken care of, got his relationship right with the Lord. And God is a God of second chances. And I'm glad He is. Because in the future millennium, He will, not might, not maybe, He will be the King of Israel. I'm going to read you several other scriptures with that before we're done this morning. Hallelujah. So, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 through 28, God says that He will sanctify His great name, which was profaned above the human. When He sanctifies it, He sets His name apart and makes it pure. He's saying, My name will be lifted up, and it will be feared. In other words, it will be reverenced, be sanctified among the heathen. It says, God will take the heathen. Verse 24, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Let me say that again. He will bring them into their own land. We are watching these scriptures in our generation be fulfilled. Hallelujah. That excites me. We are watching God bring them out of them. And then He says, I will put in them a new heart, a new spirit, and I will put My word and My judgments in them that they may do them. Now we're watching and waiting on that part of that to be fulfilled. But He is placing them in the homeland, and it's happening. It's not by coincidence that Israel is constantly in the headlines without asking to be there. I watched a documentary not too long ago on, I don't even remember what channel it was on, and it was talking about some of the Israeli secret intelligence. It wasn't Mossad, it was another branch of that. And how they made their judgments on who to take out. And they prayed that God would protect them. He said, we really don't have a choice in this matter if we are to survive. When you consider that the Islamic population of this world is 1 billion people, and there are seven, it's 1/7 of the population. Israel, at best, has about 11 to 12 million people, Jews, nationwide. Not nationwide, but worldwide. Maybe 13 million, which is not even 1%. But yet, by a miracle, they survive, and they can't be taken out. There's a reason. When God says something, He's going to honor it. Now, Ezekiel 37, I heard this preached every which way from verses 11 through 28. It's the old Valley of Dry Bones. How many of you have ever heard a message about the old Valley of Dry Bones? Most of the time I've heard it preached about the church, but in all reality, in the context that it's written, it has nothing to do with the church. It has to do with the restoration of Israel. God speaks to Ezekiel, can these bones live again? He said, only you know, Lord. He said, prophesy unto them, and they will live. He prophesies to them, and the bones pull together. And then they come up out of their graves, and they begin to get flesh upon them. And God is showing him this vision as a symbolism. I will pull Israel from the point of death as a nation, and I will put her back together, and I will make her a living nation again. Hallelujah. And he is doing that. Come on, he is doing that right now. Hallelujah. He is doing that. He said, you'll be restored. You'll no more be two nations like you were in the Old Testament. You won't be Israel and Judah. You will be Israel. And you will be taken from where the heathen, where you are. And then here it goes again. Verse 24, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And in verse 26, it says that they will multiply, which means, praise the Lord, when they multiplied in Egypt, they went from 70 souls in 400 years to 6 million. God is saying, when something multiplies, it's going to get much bigger. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. I want to get you excited this morning. Our Lord is preparing to return, and this is one of the indicators that he's preparing to return. May 14th, 1948, Israel became a sovereign nation by an act. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but praise the Lord, I'll get there in a minute. And nothing... And no one, there was a war then, and it couldn't stop them. There was a war in 1956 that couldn't stop them. I remember as a child watching on TV them showing pictures live from Israel and from the Sinai Desert in the Six-Day War. Israel took all of Sinai and all of the Western Bank in 6 days. And all we hear about in history was Hitler's blitzkrieg. Or lightning fast. He couldn't even take Europe that fast. Praise the Lord. It reminds me of the scripture, if God be for you, who can be against you? And if you are one of his own, rest assured, honey, he is going to fight your cause and your battle if you're standing with him. I want to say that again. He will fight your cause if you're standing with him. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. He will fight your cause if you're standing with him. Praise the Lord. You getting anything out of this? I want you to look through the book of Amos, chapter 9. For all the politicians that says that Israel ought to give back land, for all the people that have an opinion on this, and I say this kindly, but I say this firmly, if you have that opinion this morning, this scripture right here should change your mind if you agree with what God says. Verse 11, chapter 9. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. I will raise up the ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. I want to stop right there and camp out a minute. In that day, which is talking about the millennial, God will raise up the tabernacle of David, which is his kingdom. He will raise it up during the millennial, in that day. And I've done read you two scriptures already, praise the Lord, that he's going to be king over Israel. So he will restore him as the king of Israel. He will close up the breaches. What is? That's the broken down places. The places that have been destroyed, he will repair those. He will bring again the ruined places and restore them as the days of old. Verse 12, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name. What? That they'll possess Edom. What is Edom? Edom and Moab in the Old Testament is the modern day of Jordan. They will possess that land during the millennial. Hallelujah. We hear this verse a lot out of a lot of different people, but it's talking about millennial and future restoration of Israel. Behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treaders of the grapes on them that sow a seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and the hills, all the hills shall melt. He's saying that will happen during the millennium. Verse 14, 15. I love these verses. I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. They shall build the way cities. Are you listening? They shall build the way cities. What are they doing in Israel? They're building settlements in places that there was nothing. They're drilling wells. They're building cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine there. They are developing agriculture there. And they are bringing in the water to raise the crops in the middle of the desert. They shall make gardens and eat the fruit thereof. They're doing that. But it will increase even into the millennial. Here's the one I want you to get. All the naysayers that Israel should give up land. It's not going to happen. Because this is what it says. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Not going to happen. They're going to stay right where they're at. You're going to get God right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. He's already in the middle of it. Come on, praise the Lord. Israel is regathering and will remain right where she's at because God is going to fight their cause. And praise the Lord, we better remember the blessing of Abraham. I will bless those that bless you, and I will bless those that curse you. Honey, our nation better get on the blessing side again. Hallelujah. We do not need to turn against. I believe one of the reasons that this nation has been so blessed over the past 2+ centuries is that we have been an ally and a friend to Israel and to the Jews. Praise the Lord. Can I deal with something else just briefly? Hallelujah. How many of you picked up on something you didn't know already? Anybody pick up on anything new? All right. I'm going to give you some more to think about. Turn with me to the book of Hosea, chapter 2. This is prophetic verses 14 through 18. This is what God is saying he will do with Israel in the middle of the tribulation. And I'm going to show you why it is in the middle of the tribulation. This is God speaking. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. Notice the phrase, bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably for her. I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. What's he saying? He said, I'm going to give them, I'm going to prosper them to plant vineyards. The valley of Achor was where Achor, who had took the Babylonian garments when they took Jericho, was slain. And it was said to be a cursed place. He said, I'm going to give you that you will have hope again. I'm going to restore that to you. You will have hope again. And as in the days when you were a young nation, when you come out of Egypt. Verse 16, it shall be in that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and no more call me Belial. That's her husband. Saying, you'll call me husband, Israel. That's Ishi. Belial is my Lord. So, I've taken away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and there shall be no more remembered. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, with the creeping things of earth. I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and make them to lie down safely. God is saying, I will fight their battle so that they can dwell safely. Are you grasping that? I will break the bow. I will break the sword. He said, but I will plead with them where? In the wilderness. Ready to go on? Back to Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 34 through 36. Here's what it says. I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries where you were scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will plead with you face to face. He's talking to Israel. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will plead with you, saith the Lord God. So God is saying in Hosea and Ezekiel, I will plead with you face to face like I did in the desert of Sinai. I will talk to you and show you who I am. Now look to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to look at the first six verses. Israel has to be reestablished, has to be in the homeland for this to happen. And they are there. How many know the Bible says that it let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses? Two or three. Okay, this is the third scripture about being in the wilderness. Verse 1, chapter 12, Revelation. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she shall bring, being with child, travaileth in birth and pain to be delivered. I want to go down to verse 5. She shall bring forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. So, some scholars want to interpret this to say it's the church. I personally do not believe that, because I believe it is Israel. And this is why I believe it's Israel. Sun and moon, 12 stars. Think about Joseph's dream. His second dream was that the sun and the moon and 11 stars would bow down to him, which represents what? Israel. The representation that's given there and the symbolism gives a description of Israel. And Israel, being with child, brings forth a man-child. And the man-child is caught up to heaven. And the reason that they want to say it's the church is because it's caught up, which is the meaning of the word rapture. But let me point out something to you. In Revelation chapter 7, there are 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel that had the seal of God upon them, and they are witnesses of God from Israel in this earth. Chapter 7, they are upon the earth. Okay, you can read it there. The next time you read about these 144,000 is Revelation 14. And it says, they are before the throne of God. They are male, and they are virgins, and they are Jews. It says it there in those first five verses. And they are singing a song. Now, if I believe that is Israel, which I do, praise the Lord. And she has a man-child, and her man-child is caught up to heaven, and then she's taken to the wilderness for God to plead for her with her for 3.5 years. I've already read you two scriptures, Israel will be in the wilderness. It has to be Israel in Revelation 12. I'm going to give you another verse to show you why it has to be Israel. If you would turn with me to Isaiah 66, verses 7 through 9. And when you get there, would you say amen? Isaiah 66. Ah, glory. Isn't God good? All the time. Praise the Lord. All the time. Here's what it says. Behold, she travaileth. This is talking about Israel in Isaiah 66. And she brought forth, and her pain, before her pain came, She was delivered of a man, what? Child. That's why I believe Revelation 12 is talking about the woman being Israel. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her children, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord. I will cause to bring forth and shut up the womb, saith the Lord. He's talking about Israel, about the man-child coming, and he's also talking about Israel being born at once. What happened May 14, 1948? 2,000 years. Israel had not been a sovereign nation. And in one day, Israel became a nation, again, fulfilling the scripture I just read. We are looking, I'm not as scholarly on some of these points as many that are around, but I do know enough about the Word of God, hallelujah, to understand, even though I can't bring some of the details that some teachers bring about it, to understand we're living in that time. I'm not trying to shake you up. I'm trying to get you excited. He says, it's in the book of Luke, he says, when you see all these things around you, look up because your redemption draws nigh. Look up. Don't look down. Look up. Look up. He's coming. He's coming for you. If your sins are out of the blood and you're living for him as you should, you don't have any questions about where you're going or what's going to be happening. But I will say this kindly but firmly. But if you're playing games with the Lord and you know you're not where you should be with God, it is time to get it in order, to get it repented of, and get straight with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I say that with kindness but firmness. We're not living in a time that you can play games. That is gone. I cannot explain the blood moons like John Hagee or Perry Stone. I cannot. They are articulate and well-versed in that. But I will say this. Hallelujah. Israel has been born as a nation. God will deal with her in the wilderness. Now, let me show you one more thing, and I'm finished with this part of it this morning. Isaiah 16. Go there with me very quickly. I'm going to show you where exactly that God is going to deal with Israel at. Isaiah 16. 21 years ago to this month, I watched the door in the news media on an event that happened, open to make way for this scripture to be fulfilled. In September 1993, Jordan signed a peace accord with Israel, which cleared the way to fulfill Isaiah 16. Man, I was looking for the Lord to come any moment and rapture his church when I seen that happening. 21 years have passed. I'm still looking for him to come and gather us out. Here's what it says, and I'm going to read. Praise the Lord. Let's just read from the King James. Send ye the land to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness and to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be a wandering bird cast out of the nest, as the daughters of Moab shall be the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, bewray him not that wandereth. Let my outcast dwell with her, Moab. Be thou a covert to them. From the face of the spoiler, the extortioner is at end, and the spoiler that ceaseth, and the oppressors that consume the land. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit on it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking in hastening righteousness. Now see, there's that tabernacle of David again, where the kingdom of David will be reestablished. What's he saying? Let me go to the Amplified Bible to clarify it a little bit. He's saying to make a shade that is so dark at noonday that people will not be able to tell that you're standing in it. He's telling Moab to do this for Israel. See, the peace accord's there. If you go toward the southeast end of Israel and go across the Dead Sea, and you go over what used to be Edom and what used to be Moab, it's now Jordan. There is a wilderness there. And God is saying to Moab and to Edom, be a covert, which means a sheltered hiding place. It means like a great bird will take and cover its little ones and protect them. He's telling them, make a place, hide my outcast. And God said, I will deal with them 3.5 years in the wilderness. I read you that from Revelation 12. I will deal with them there in the wilderness. I will speak to them face to face. I will deal with them. Makes me think about Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 4 says, I will spread my wings over them to cover them. Makes me want to shout. I can feel the hair standing up on my body right now as I talk about God covering Israel and covering us with His wings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in Jordan, they will go there. They will hide from the Antichrist, who made a false peace with them and turned on them. There are three titles for the Antichrist here in this portion of Scripture that I read you. He's called the extortioner, the oppressor, and the spoiler. In Isaiah chapter 10, verses 24 through 27, it talks about when the Assyrian comes. And it's talking about in that day, again, when the Assyrian comes to bind up Israel, and the Antichrist will be of Assyrian descent. That's another message, another time to get into all that. But it says a verse that Pentecostals and Charismatics and even other evangelicals like to use. The last part of verse 27, it says, and the anointing shall break the yoke. But if you read all the verses together, you find out the anointing, who is the Holy Ghost, is breaking the yoke of Antichrist off of Israel. Makes me want to say, if he could break that bird's yoke, these little things that we face in everyday life, it is no problem for the Holy Spirit to break them and set them in order. Come on, hallelujah. I mean to excite you. I mean to get you stirred. Hallelujah. In Jordan, Israel will hide 3.5 years as if they were invisible, because God is covering them and using Moab, Jordan, to do it. Interesting note. In Daniel chapter 11, it starts out talking about the king of the north and the king of the south, which was actually talking about two divisions of the Grecian Empire, two of Alexander the Great's generals. But as you get on over in the chapter, you suddenly realize this is not talking about generals any longer. It's talking about nations and people from another time. The king of the north, which would be the Assyrian, will come against the king. The king of the south, which is Egypt, will come against him. It says many nations will be taken by the king of the north. But it says, but Edom and Moab will escape out of his hand. The Libyans, the Ethiopians, the Egyptians will be at the hand of the king of the north. But Edom and Moab, Who's that? Jordan. Why? Because Jordan will be the covert, the hiding place in the middle of the tribulation for Israel. I'm saying this to you. If we're watching these things unfold right now, the rapture of the church is probably an eye blink away. The second coming of Christ is just a little over 7+. I'm not a date setter. I've never been that. I don't like that because you get into trouble. It's like that gentleman, what was it, a year or two ago that said all that date, had all the billboards and saying all that. And folks are looking at me and saying, well, preacher, is the Lord coming that day? I said, nope. Well, how can you be some confident? He says, he'll come in a day that you think not. I said, they're looking for him that day. He ain't coming that day. He's coming in a time that you think not. And the same thing when that gentleman did that in 1988. Come on, hallelujah. We need not, and I say this with kindness, but we not, as Christians need not be so gullible. Amen, oh me, ouch. We need not be so gullible. We need to know the word, hallelujah, to the extent that when people come up with some concoctions, even though they're well-intended, we can say, no, Bible doesn't say that. And if I can go off on my rabbit trail here again, because some of you weren't here when I went off on that Wednesday night, there is a video that's out that's taking the scripture where Satan fell from heaven as lightning and using one of the Hebrew words, which is Barak, and then going to Isaiah, Greek words, which is Barak, and then going to Isaiah 14 and using one of the Hebrew words, which can go Umbama or Obama, and saying the name of the Antichrist is real. And I'm sitting there watching, I said, no, the Bible says he's going to be an Assyrian. In my lifetime, I've heard Henry Kissinger's name spelled out as the Antichrist. I've heard Jimmy Carter spelled out as the Antichrist. I've heard Mikhail Gorbachev spelled out as the Antichrist. I've heard Al Gore spelled out as the Antichrist. And none of them are Assyrians. And besides this, President Obama is of Kenyan descent. So that doesn't qualify him to be the Antichrist. Praise the Lord. I told you, I'll get into this Antichrist thing more later on, and I will show you from the scripture, he will be an Assyrian descendant. And the reason I can say this, Assyria covers all of modern Iraq, portions of Syria, portions of Lebanon, portions of Turkey. It covered all of that area. Well, I think he will be a European. If he's of Assyrian descent, I can go with that. Are you listening to me? He won't follow the religion of his fathers. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting right now. Come on, praise the Lord. If we can see the signs of his rising up, if we can see the sign of Israel being restored as a nation, look up. Look up. Look up. It's about time for him to come. Get you out of this mess. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is an exciting time to live in. Let me say that again. This is an exciting time to live in. Now, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to say some stuff in these other six indicators, and some of them, that might ruffle your feathers a little bit. But I'm going to show you some stuff that in a light that you've never probably thought of it before. Especially when we get to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay? That bring in false doctrine. We're going to rattle the cage a little bit. Praise the Lord. Ma'am? Rattle away. It's not because I'm saying this in private. I'm saying this. We're living in a time that false doctrine and popular thinking is on the rise. Praise the Lord. God's Word I can't remember who said this. Who? You help me if you remember who said this, because we were both listening to this the other day. We don't need to change God's word to suit our lifestyle. God's word will change us and change our lifestyle. Who was it that said that? It's done slipped my mind. I said, yeah, tell it. Tell it. It's His word will change us to be more like Him. Hallelujah. That ought to excite you. Now, I'm finished. I want to say this to you. Is anyone in this building that will say, Pastor, I am not where I should be with God? I'm not. Would you lift up your hand and say, pray for me. I need to get there. Anyone? All right. You can change that. You can say, Lord, set my heart in order and help me to follow You more closely. If you want to come pray right now to do that, come on. I'm not saying that to embarrass people, hallelujah, but praise the Lord. It's better to be honest than to be left out, amen? Praise the Lord. So if you want to come pray, we'll pray. All right? Hallelujah. Praise God. If you want to come help them pray, I want you to come. Hallelujah. 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 I want us to pray for a revival in our city, in our county, and in our nation, in our state. We need revival. Revival that will shake the politicians. I'm tired of both parties making promises that they know they can't keep. We need God to move in this nation. Amen. Amen. Okay, you sure may. Say this with me. Father, help me in the name of Jesus. I turn from my lukewarmness and set me ablaze with Your word and with Your spirit. Revive me that I may bring You glory. I repent and turn from all that I failed You in. Lord, I ask that You would strengthen me and cause me to reflect Your glory. And I believe You to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, send somebody to Doris. Send somebody that will... And give them favor with Doris.